I'm here to praise the Lord tonight.
I need one of those. What's the one that's glory? Hallelujah. Where are we at, Dad?
When we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory. When the saints are marching, oh, when the saints are marching in, oh, when the saints are marching.
Thank you.
chapter 4 and verse 1. We just want to give a little thought on the mark of a Christian.
Yes, sir.
The mark of a Christian. We just had it on our heart a couple weeks ago about the question, what is the measure of a man? In other words, we measure ourselves as human beings by so many different things.
Sure.
And we look at ourselves, look at our lives, and measure ourselves by different standards. But what is the standard? What is it that God is looking for?
Yes, sir.
What is it that God is looking for? That's the thought of our hearts tonight. So the mark of a Christian, James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Paul is rebuking the church here, or James is rebuking the church here for living in a way, living a lifestyle, living a life that is just to consume the things that the flesh lusts for.
Sure.
A carnal life, right? He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Sir.
Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace?
Amen.
Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. Humble yourselves, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. He says, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Here's what we're coming to. What is your life, this carnal life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Another place the scripture says it's a flower quickly fading. Right? So we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you put before us tonight, Father, to feast on, Lord. That it's an open word, Lord. It's there's nothing withheld from your people, Father. But by revelation of your Spirit, Father, we have access to it all, Father, and can benefit, Lord, from its teaching, Father, from its rebukes, from its blessings, Father. All of it, Father, we want to partake of, Lord, and Lord, not hold back on any part, Father.
Yes, Father.
We pray that you would just help us to surrender tonight,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
The speaker and the hearer, Father, may you anoint. Lord, that you would have your perfect will tonight.
Yes.
Say what you want to say, Father. Lord, don't be bound by the plans or the agenda of men, Father. But Lord, come and take control, Lord. We're looking to you for leadership tonight. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated, and if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Just to kind of hone in on this thought a little bit. Chapter 4 and verse 17. So what we've just read is a scripture of rebuke for the carnal people, the carnal Christians. And Paul kind of picks up the same thought here in chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord. He says, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, out in the vanity of their mind, right? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. And that lasciviousness is the same as what James is talking about in the other chapter, that living in a way to fulfill the fleshly lusts, or fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's selfishness, really. It's a carnal it's a carnal way of living and carnal desires and things and making that the whole thrust of our life. Amen. So giving themselves over unto lasciviousness towards all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. So Paul is saying there are people on this earth, and we can see them all over today, and it's a very Laodicean spirit to have, where there are people in this world that go through life, and the whole point of their life, the whole aim of their life is to achieve the things that the flesh lusts for and consume those things upon their lusts, and to have a kind of a life, even have a kind of a religion, a kind of relationship with God, where it's all about where James says the reason they have not is because they ask not, or when they ask amiss, because they're just asking for things that will satisfy the desires of the flesh, and their desire is not for the will of God, but for their own will to be done. Amen. Amen. And that's the spirit we see in this age, in the Gentile world. And Paul is saying, don't walk like those Gentiles.
Amen. That's right.
Don't just live like the rest of the world, to live from day to day and just be following after all the things of the world, carnal things.
That's right.
Right? But because Paul says that those people are blinded. Amen. Their understanding is darkened. There's an ignorance that has come upon them to not see the bigger picture.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. But we have not so learned Christ.
Amen,
thank
brother.
The Lord for that.
Right.
He says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that's the old lifestyle, right? The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
Amen.
Put that off, right? Because we have been renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. Amen. And I just love this. And I was presenting it to our young people in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, how it, when we read the rest of this chapter, and we read that chapter in James and all the things that those believers are being exhorted to do by these men, when you read those things just on the surface, it seems a whole lot like religion. It seems a whole lot like a list of rules and do's and don'ts and things to bind us down and things that we can do and can't do and things. You know what I mean? But the key, if we overlook this scripture, we miss the whole point, because what Paul is saying is this isn't just a bunch of do's and don'ts, but because there's been a death of the old man, amen, and because we've been renewed in the spirit of our minds, amen, now these are the things that will be naturally manifested by a Christian, amen, because of the spirit now, the new life that has come and is living there, amen. So this isn't what we're supposed to be, this is who we are.
Right.
This is who we are, and these are the things that as we begin to learn to surrender and we begin to put off the carnal lust, put off the deceitful lust, the Bible says, as we put those things off, we begin to realize that these are the things that are really in our heart struggling to be expressed. Amen. God, and it's God in Christ himself, we believe, amen, wanting to be expressed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So now that we've put on the new man, which is created after God, amen, in his image and likeness, in righteousness and true holiness. That's who we are now. So now now because of this nature change, now Paul says, verse 25, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Not a law, it's an identity. Amen. For we are members one of another. Praise the Lord. Be ye angry, but sin not. Amen. The old man was angry. The new man gets angry, but sin not. Amen. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Amen.
Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, where the old man stole, let him steal no more.
Amen.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Amen.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication. But let's say only that which is good to the use of edifying. Now that's a challenge. That it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Amen.
Amen. And see, that's how we know. Right there's where we realize that this has to be a supernatural happening. This has to be a supernatural thing, because what human being could tame the tongue? Amen. Amen. Under human ability, amen. Who could do it? Nobody could do it, but the life of Christ in you will do it. Amen. It will perform it. Amen. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Here's where we're coming to. Whereby you are sealed. You are marked unto the day of redemption.
Sir.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, everything negative, Paul's saying, let it all be put away from you with all malice.
Amen.
Amen. And be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel like we should pray again. Amen. I think we all can be challenged here, but what we really need to realize is that this is not a religion that we're trying to work up. It's not a list of rules that we're trying to live up to. Amen. But this is the nature, this is the attribute of the life that is in us by the renewing, by the old man be putting away, and by taking on the new man, we have taken on a new identity. Amen. And because of that, we're marked. Amen. We're marked. There's a mark that goes with being a Christian, a real Christian that has the life of Christ in him. He'll be marked, amen, by character in his life, by a certain nature in his life.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And it'll produce this kind of a conversation. Amen. Now, Brother Graham says, Jubilee year, that there's only going to be two classes of people in the last day. And I got a lot of quotes tonight. I trust that's right. And both of them are going to wear a mark. Two classes of people, and both of them are marked. Now, we know that the enemy's, like the Bible says, going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
Amen. And Satan in this age, amen, he's trying to get a hold of whoever he can. Anybody he can. You know, and he's just running rampant in this day with deceitfulness. There's never been such a deceitful age.
Right.
Amen. And there's two classes of people, and Satan wants to get to as many people as he can to make them take his mark.
Yes, sir.
His mark. Right. Amen. But God has a mark, too.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Branham says, the mark of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. That's the mark.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. We don't try to pretend that we've come up higher than the Holy Ghost.
Come on,
amen. Or that we've gone beyond the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we believe we've come into the fullness of what the Holy Ghost is given for. Amen. Amen. The mark of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
He says, we proved it by the Holy Spirit's help and the Word of God, that the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption.
Amen, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Without the Holy Spirit, you are not sealed.
That's it.
But the Holy Spirit is God's seal. And then, so two classes of people, he says, and then all that are not sealed by the Holy Spirit take on the mark of the beast.
Come on now.
Right? And it's a very deceitful thing. There's a very fine line here. And a very fine line in our day. And the mark of the beast, then, is a mark of apostasy.
Yes, sir.
Or rejecting the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's simple. Two classes of people in this day.
Come on now.
Those that have the Holy Ghost, that have taken the mark of God, and then those that are marked of apostasy. Right? Which is just to reject the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Amen. Absolutely. You don't have to go out and get a chip in your hand
or
a mark on your forehead or some kind of a carnal thing like that, but it's just so simple as not receiving the Holy Spirit, which God has made so free.
That's right.
Which God has made so available. Amen. Amen. Now, in the mark of the beast, he says, now you see what the mark of the beast is? It's the mark of apostasy. And he begins to define this. It's a person who just thinks that, well, I belong to church. And I'm just as good as the next fellow. Am I not belonging to this church? Right? And he says, you realize we're the church organization that you're depending on, where it comes from. The very next night, or that night, the seal of God, he says, remember, we found without one mistake that the mark of the beast is a mark of apostasy. That is church members hanging to their church instead of walking to the light. Church members hanging to their church instead of walking to the light. They reject light, and there's nothing left but darkness, both Catholic and Protestant, and let's bring it up to date, and message.
Sure.
Amen, amen, and message, because there is a beast and a whore that had harlot daughters, the Bible foretold. Amen, and out of every move of God, amen, there will be one of these daughters, amen. And the message is no exception. It's just, see, if you take Christ out of it, you take the life of Christ, you take the personal revelation out of the message, I believe it's just as much a denomination as the next one, and even more deceitful, amen. Amen. So there's no pride, there's no value, amen. We are no better people for calling ourselves message believers, amen, unless there's a reality behind that, amen. Amen. But see that it's a system like any other system. And Brother Branham says, you realize where that organization, that system, that you're depending on that. He says, you realize where that comes from.
Amen.
Right? He says that these harlot daughters, when they broke forth, each time that the scripture foretold and they broke forth, they were virgins from the light of their day.
Oh my, come on now.
Virgins from the light of that day. And they, but they organized.
That's it. Come on, brother.
Right? In other words, it stopped being a move of God. It started being a system.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
An organization. A program.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's
something
it.
Run by men.
Yep.
Amen? Something that you can join instead of being born into.
That's
amen?
It. Right.
Amen. And it, he said it made them the same kind of a thing that Rome was in the beginning.
Amen.
Same kind of a thing. Amen. And Brother Branham... And you know, we look at Rome today, and we look at them with all their splendor and their big cathedrals and their funny hats, right? And you look at that, and it's so far off the original church.
Right.
And it's so far off today, and the things that they teach are just so clearly against the Bible, amen, to any Bible scholar. And we wonder, and you look at that thing, that doesn't deceive anybody in this day. It doesn't deceive it, because that's not where Satan's working. He's taken them that far off the path. But you go back to their origin, you go back to the beginning when those two vines first began to separate, amen, and it was a lot different, because the true vine and the false vine looked a lot alike.
Amen.
They looked a lot alike. In fact, they worshipped in the same buildings,
right.
Amen, they went to the same churches, amen, these are the people, they heard Paul, they heard Peter, they heard the disciples, and they heard first-hand accounts, and they saw the move of God, they saw the healing and the miracles in their midst, and the moving of the supernatural, and just this Book of Acts church that was sweeping the world in that day. Amen.
Amen.
But what began to happen is that people began to when Christianity became popular.
That's it.
Amen.
Preach
that was
button.
when it became when it reached a certain critical mass. All of a sudden, it had a little bit of validity, and you know, people weren't getting persecuted. People weren't getting killed for being Christians anymore. Now the governors were Christians. Amen. Now the great men of the city were Christians, and it became a system. It became an organization. It became a denomination.
Lord.
Amen. So what was it? Mixed right in with the true church, but they began to organize around traditions.
Yes.
Right? And instead of the leadership of the Holy Ghost,
that's
there's
right.
the key. Instead of the leadership of the Holy Ghost, Christianity became tradition.
Yes.
It
right.
became a lifestyle. It became something that you did because it was the way you were raised to do, because
now.
It's what your parents told you to do or what your pastor told you to do.
Come on.
Amen. That's what it, and when it comes to that, amen, then it becomes a man-made thing, because
right.
people begin to look at men. Amen. They begin to look at their pastor to have all the reality of a Christian life for them.
Amen.
Amen. They begin to look for intellectual men.
Yes.
Amen. To validate them and to make them and you know, make them feel secure.
Sure.
But that's never the way that it was meant to be. It was not so from the beginning, because
right.
God didn't call together a church where men went out with some intellectual gospel, amen, and began to bring people in through powers of reason and through well-prepared
right.
sermons. Paul himself, he was one of the great intellectual giants of his day, but he said, I came not with excellency of speech, but with power and demonstration of the Spirit, amen, because that was the difference. Though one looked like the other, though they went to the same church, amen, though they worshipped in the same way,
right.
though they called themselves by the same name, amen, yet one, amen, was an organization, it was a system, it was something that people were associated with, and the other was a kingdom, amen, that people were born into, and it brought power and it brought life, amen, from another realm.
That's right.
Amen, and but that was the root of the thing. Amen. And every time there's a move of God, Satan gets right there in the midst. Amen. Amen. So we're not on the inside looking out at all of Satan's workings in the message. Amen. But we know that Satan's right in our ranks, trying to spread his deceit.
Sure.
Trying to make you think that you're okay, that you're secure, that you're saved because you're a message believer.
Preach, brother.
My.
My. Lord.
Amen. Satan wants to get you in his cult.
That's it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that was the thing that Rome. And as soon as, and Brother Branham talked about, as soon as that line got blurred, as soon as it stopped being something that God was doing on the earth by the leadership, individual leadership of the Holy Ghost,
sir,
it became something man-made, and it died. And Brother Branham called it lukewarm, formal, powerless.
That's right.
Lukewarm, formal, powerless.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. And yet we find that spirit at work in our day, in the churches, in the message churches, right? That people are finding their security in joining a church.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
And making a profession of belief.
Sure.
And associating themselves with the move of God. Amen. But that's not how God measures a man, because God doesn't measure a man by how religious he is or what church he joined or what name he calls him by. But it's the Spirit that's coming to church, and you even find pastors in this day that preach it this way, that the Holy Ghost is received by osmosis. If you go sit in a message pew and you hear the message preached over the pulpit, that you'll somehow absorb it and it'll do something in your life. No, the God doesn't work like that. His power doesn't change a person from the outside in, amen, but from the inside, amen, out. Amen. When God can come in, amen, and the old man can be thoroughly put away. Not reformed, not rehabilitated, not brought into a church, not brought into a movement, but changed. Amen. Died, amen, and the new man, amen, a new spirit, a new nature coming and tabernacling in there. Amen. That's what it takes. That's what God is looking for in this day. That's the only way, you know, the only way to take on the name of Christ is when the nature comes with it. My, because, you know, we have so many names for ourselves to make us, you know what it is? It's to make us feel special. It's to make us feel important. Well, I'm a message believer. Amen. I believe the prophet William Branham. And I'm a non-denominational Christian. Oh my. But you know, the Bible says that there is one name given under heaven whereby men may be saved, and is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We take on one name, amen, and manifest one nature, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way we'll ever come into the unity of the body of Christ is through the life of Christ. Amen. Because it doesn't matter how good your system is, how well organized it is, how nice the people are. You know that brotherly kindness, it will build you a really good church.
Sure.
Divine love will build you the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Living and acting the same way it did on the shores of Galilee. Amen. Doing the same works. Oh my, there's no salvation in joining a church and doing good works and following the rules, believing the prophet. Those things are good. It's all religion. So where does it bring it to? What is the measure now? What is the mark that we're looking for in our lives that we must be presented?
Amen.
Amen. We can't measure ourselves by how good we were this week. You probably won't be as good next week. You know, how good our prayer life is, our devotion life, all those religious things are all the carnal trappings that they either surround something, whether you're false or true, you'll do the same things. But it's all carnal trappings surrounding, amen, the soul. And the state of the soul, amen, is what we're concerned with tonight. My, not what kind of a name you call yourself or what kind of a church that you join, but is oh my. Brother Branham says, are we bringing people to a church instead of bringing them to Christ? Have we succeeded in bringing them to a church? A message church.
Preach now.
And not brought them to Christ.
Amen.
Right.
You must be born again.
Exactly.
You must be sealed, marked by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham says, you let me talk to a man 2 minutes.
That's right.
And I can tell you whether he's received the Holy Ghost or not.
That's right.
He said, so can you. It separates them.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's a mark. It's a sign. The Holy Spirit is a sign. Now it takes us to the Old Testament, and we know that circumcision was a foreshadow of the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
Right? Because when God chose Abraham, he gave him a sign.
That's right.
Amen. And it wasn't just enough for Abraham to just believe in God's choosing.
Come on now.
Amen. But it was vindicated. It was proven by a sign.
Amen. Right.
Wow, thank you, Lord. All right. Now, any child back then that refused circumcision in the Old Testament, he was cut off from amongst the people.
That's right.
Could not have fellowship with the rest of the congregation if he refused to be circumcised.
Amen. That's right.
He says, now pattern that today. A person that would refuse to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost can have no fellowship among those that have the Holy Ghost.
Come on now.
Because we won't associate with them? Because we kick them out of church? No. You just can't do it.
That's right.
Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. You have to be in nature.
Yes.
Amen. You have to be in nature. The only way we're going to produce the unity of the body of Christ.
Amen.
In our day, which is what we are called to produce.
That's right.
It's what was foretold will produce. The only way it's going to happen is to have a common nature.
Amen.
Amen. You can't take two different natures and blend them.
Come on now.
Right.
Amen.
All right. Now, the Spirit is the nature of the name. Right? The Spirit is the nature of the name. That's why you must be born again. That's why you must receive the Holy Spirit. Because, see, just to take on the name of Christ doesn't really make you part of the body of Christ.
That's right.
I told you it's simple tonight. Amen. But there's a nature that goes with that name.
Amen.
That proves, amen, that the name is the true identity.
Amen.
So the Spirit is the nature of a name. When a man is reborn into the name of Jesus Christ, he has to be marked by a nature change.
Yes, sir.
Nature change.
Yes, Lord.
Now, not just he turn over a new leaf, all right? Let's turn to Ezekiel 36 and make that very clear. Now here's justification. He says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Right? So he's brought you out. He's called you out. Called you out of the world. Called you out of denomination. Brought you to the true church. Brought you to your own land.
That's right.
All right? He says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you will be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now there's a cleansing. Right? And he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Amen. So what God is saying is that I'll bring you to this place where I'll give you a new spirit. Right? He says, first I'll bring you into church. Then I'm going to clean you, start cleaning up your life. Brother Bram says he has to clean you or he couldn't even bear to live with you. He begins to clean you. And he says, Brother Bram says he gives you a new spirit.
Hallelujah.
But it's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it's a new spirit that he gives you so that he can deal with you. My, but many times I think there's a confusion here because there's a fine line now between, you can go to revival meetings, get under the atmosphere of the preaching and the singing and dancing and things, and get under that atmosphere, get under the influence of the Holy Ghost.
Sure. Come on.
And there will be a change in your life. There will be a change in your nature to reflect it. Because there's a power in it.
Sure.
Amen. But until you come to a place of full surrender, you can't go to the next step. And this is where people fall short, because they want to go to a church that makes them feel holy. They want to go to church on Sunday and feel like a good person, feel clean, feel like they got a good spirit about them, get amped up, get worked up.
Yeah, that's
it. Amen. But then go home and just live the way that they want to live. But call themselves a Christian, feel like a Christian, think like a Christian, worship, do all the things, pay their tithes, all the things like a Christian.
Right.
Just as religious. Amen. But there's a further step.
Amen.
God said, he promised, he said, I will put my spirit.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Not a new you.
Come on, brother.
Not you've been through a spiritual rehab of life, but you've been through a regeneration.
Amen.
I have put my spirit upon you, and then I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Amen.
And you shall dwell in the land that I did. This is the only way you're going to overcome. The only way we're going to possess our inheritance is by his spirit.
That's right.
Amen. But not by a new spirit. Not by religiousness. Not by joining a church and getting sanctified once a week. Amen. But by taking his spirit.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
And having his laws, His will, His nature written upon our hearts.
Yes,
amen.
Lord,
see,
yes,
there's a higher place that we can come to that goes beyond the church that we're sitting in. Goes beyond the name that we call ourselves or the group that we associated with.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Brother Brand said, he brings this out in Why Are People So Tossed about the laws that were put into the tabernacle. See, when God says, I'll write my statutes on your heart, I'll put my laws in you, he's referring to the ark that was in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. And in that Holy of Holies was the ark, and the law was written on the tablets that was stored in that ark.
Right.
And he says that there's two classes of people in this day. Them same classes that's trying to do something to save themselves.
Yes.
Each one says, I'll go to church every Sunday. That's very good. I want to be religious. That's very good. That's still under the law.
Yes. Right.
But when the other, by going to church and being good, it's not something you do yourself. But it's something in you doing it for you. The Holy Spirit in your heart. He says, then you've come into the inner court. He says, and in this inner court, the people that live in here, they seem to have always fed up. They're always feeling good. Amen. Ezekiel said, I'll write my laws anew and put it in their heart. Where the law used to be on stones in the ark, and the ark represents the heart, he says, I will put my new law in their heart, in the ark. The heart is the abode of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's the ark. And in the Old Testament, God dwelt in his glory over the ark. Amen. The heart is the ark. God dwells not in the head, but in the heart. God is not known by theology. God is not known by mental conceptions. God is known by an old-fashioned, sanctified, born-again experience that's in the human heart. Amen. Yet men and women live a good life and love God by mental conception. And there's the deceit. But the real hiding place is in the heart, hid with Christ. And when Christ the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, he's in you with your temperament, and he's living his own life.
That's it.
Amen. Through his own will, through you.
Amen. That's it.
Hallelujah. Amen. I know that sounds awful, but it's right. Amen. Christ, so yielded you are, and that's what it takes, is yielding. So yielded you are that Christ speaks the kind of words he would speak. He thinks the kind of thoughts he would think through you.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Oh, my. He does the kind of works he would do through you because you are yielded and resting. What a beautiful picture of a consecrated Christian yielded God is working through. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain.
Amen.
Not me that liveth anymore, but Christ that liveth in me.
Amen. Amen.
Christ living in the individual so surrendered when Christ speaks through the lips and thinks through the mind, sees through the eye, he acts through the temperament. My hallelujah, then the things of the world has passed away. How can it be anything but sweet and pleasant all the time? Because Christ has got control. He says, do you see it? That's what it is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. Sweet and pleasant all the time. See, there is a level in the Christian life that we have access to that goes beyond anything religion can offer you, because religion can make you feel good one or two days out of the week. Religion can get you feeling good. It can get you feeling holy. It can bring you into an atmosphere. Amen. But when you leave the atmosphere, amen, then you haven't taken anything with you through religion, through
amen.
Joining the movement, through being in the message. Amen. Amen. But when Christ, the giver of the message, is in you, amen, then you have come into a place, to an inner court, amen, that is sealed off from the rest of the world, amen, and the manna in there is fresh all the time, amen, and where there was old dead wood, Aaron's rod, it lived again, and it bore fruit, amen. Hallelujah, and the laws are written upon your heart, and you're a Christian, not because somebody told you to act like a Christian, but because Christ is in you, making you Christ-like, making you Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And so there is a place that we can come to that will be shut off, amen, shut in with God in an inner place, oh my, where the world can't enter there, and the thoughts and the lusts and the stress and the pressures of life can't enter there, amen, and that's the place that we must come to. Brothers and sisters, Brother Branham says, oh my, he says, your whole makeup is Christ. Your attitude, your desire, your appetite, your everything is Christ.
That's it.
Yielded, resting, everything perfect, no matter how dull it looks or how black it looks, still it's the same. Christ is in you. He speaks to the sinner, amen, in the voice that he would speak to him in. He speaks to the prostitute in the voice that he would speak to them in. He thinks through your mind the very thoughts that he speaks through your heart. The very way he would if he was here on earth.
Amen.
That real of a God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Not a God that lives in your pastor, not a God that lives in your parents or in your heroes or in the great intellectual men, but the God that lives right here in the tabernacle of your heart, in your ark. Amen. In his and abides there continually with his presence, with his blessings, with his nature living through you.
Amen.
Oh my, and you're no more your own, but you're surrendered.
Amen.
Amen. This is the place that we have access to, my brother, my sister. And it seems like when I judge my own life, just to be honest with you, many times it seems like I'm not taking, let me say, taking advantage of this access.
Sure.
Amen. It seems
Absolutely.
Like, but if you were in that inner place where the manna never goes stale, where it's always fresh, why would you go outside where there's fresh manna for a time and then it shrivels up and it rots away? Why would we ever leave?
Right.
Why would we ever leave?
Come on.
So I told the church at home, I said, I may not have spiritual perfection in my life, but I've got something, spiritual ambition, amen, because I believe that this place was created, this inner court, amen, this ark, this refuge, this closet, oh my, where you're shut, this little room where you're shut away from the world, that was created for me, amen,
amen.
And so no, it doesn't matter what comes against me in my life, if I'm called to possess that, I will possess it, amen, and it's my right, it's my inheritance, and it's what I desire in my life. And it's what we should desire. Because what does the world have to offer with their stale manna?
Right.
Oh my, with their wilderness and oh my, those children of Israel. Imagine if you could just live in there, but they didn't have access. They didn't have access. They were out in the hot sun.
Right.
They were fighting off raiders. Oh my. They were being bitten by scorpions and snakes.
Come on,
oh my. Lord. But we have access.
Yes, Lord.
We have access. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. They used to say, and we don't know if it's true or not, but they say that they would, when the high priest would go in there to make sacrifice once a year, they would tie a rope around it. Because it was so holy in that place, that presence was so mighty, that if there was any unconfessed sin in his life, anything not perfect, oh my, that he'd be struck dead and they'd have to pull him out by that rope. Oh my, but Christ, when Christ died for us, he wrote in the veil so that we could walk boldly in. Hallelujah. Let's take advantage of that, my brother, my sister. Amen. Because that place was created for us. Amen. And we even had a prophet come and had a vision of a little room where people would go in there and they wouldn't come out the same. Hallelujah. Because there's a place on this earth that a God has provided where we can have personal access to the King of Kings. Amen. A personal audience. We can have his ear at all times. Amen. We can... oh, live in his presence.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. That's it.
Hallelujah. Where in the Lord am I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So so let's go down another vein here. Talking about the Spirit being the nature of the name. So by the Spirit that we've been given access to, we can come unto Christ. We can come into his presence. Amen. It brings, so the purpose of the Holy Ghost is not to bring you to church on Thursday, on Sunday and Wednesday, right? It's not to make you religious. It's not to make you a better person.
Come on, brother, hit it.
All right? But the purpose of the Holy Ghost is specifically to produce the nature of Christ.
That's right.
That's what it was given for in the beginning. Now, in Paul's day, when that Holy Ghost fell down, it produced faith.
Yes, sir.
Book of Acts faith.
Yes, sir.
Right, where they did the works of Christ through faith. But it wasn't a human faith, but it was something that came upon them on the day of Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
Right? And the Holy Ghost produced the attribute, the nature of faith.
Come on now.
Right? And then in Irenaeus' day, the Holy Ghost came and it added to faith virtue. Right? And then added to virtue knowledge. And so what is happening here? What is this picture of the Holy Ghost? What does the Holy Ghost do for in our day?
Yes, sir.
What are we looking for? What is the evidence, let me say it that way even, of the Holy Ghost in our day?
Come on, brother.
Because God is always marching forward.
Yes, sir. That's right.
God has a target. God has a purpose. God has a plan.
Amen.
Amen. And so, and those lampstands that we're talking about, those seven Gentile ages, right? Most of you know this. They weren't candlesticks now. But lamps that all fed from one source, the oil,
right. Oh, yes.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And by the power laying in that Holy Ghost,
right,
with fire. When they took the sacred fire from the altar of God, Abraham said, and they brought it to the first land. Amen. And then they didn't go back for more fire, but the fire that was in the first age, the first lamp, was carried over to the second. See, the same Holy Ghost, the same fire, but bringing a further light. Bringing a further light. Right? Not just producing a church and fizzling out, but moving on to a further light. And bringing light upon light upon light as those candlesticks were lit, adding attribute unto attribute, line upon line, precept upon precept.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. That's until what happened on that seventh day? Amen. It was the capstone of divine love that came down there. It was divine love, amen, that the Holy Ghost was to produce in the last day.
Amen.
Amen. That none of the previous had access to.
Right.
So what are we looking for? What's the mark in our day that we're looking for? Right. And when John saw this, and he saw light added upon light added upon light, and when the full picture was illuminated, when the full light had come, oh my, the evening light had come.
Right.
Amen. John saw, standing in the midst of the lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man. And what was the purpose of that Holy Ghost then? Was to shed light upon what? Christ, the Son of Man. But Brother Branham brought this out. One like unto the Son of Man, but gird about the breasts.
Right. Yes, sir.
Which is feminine.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Right? And so what was the Holy Ghost made to produce? Was to produce a female aspect, a church, a bride that was in the perfect image of the Son of Man.
Yes,
amen. So he saw the woman, amen, but recognized the man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost will do in our day. It has brought us beyond denomination upon denomination and taste of truth upon taste of truth, but the whole truth has been opened up to us in this day. Amen. We have been given full access to the Word, which is Christ.
Amen.
And so we can come into the fullness of Christ, and the full nature of Christ can be expressed in the church today.
Amen.
And
That's
what the Holy Ghost was set to produce. It is the culmination of the work of the Holy Ghost. The message does not diminish or do away with the Holy Ghost, but it brings it up, amen, to the present day, amen, to the ultimate purpose for which it was poured upon the church, to produce Christ, because God is love.
Amen.
Amen. And when the capstone divine love comes upon the church, then the church is Christ.
Right.
She is Him.
Yes,
amen. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh.
Right.
Spirit of His spirit.
Yes,
nature
right.
of His nature. She is marked.
Yes.
Amen. By His mark. She
amen.
Has taken His name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's it's Christ in female form revealed in His church. And that's why the Bible says, when He shall return, we shall be like Him.
That's right.
We shall be like Him. And so that's why upon that scripture it has brought us to a place, amen, where we are on very treacherous ground if we begin to listen to the lies of the enemy and feel like our religion is enough and our tradition is enough and calling ourselves message is enough. Amen. That wasn't what God has come to produce in our day. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. But when He shall return, the bride shall be like Him.
Amen.
So I don't see how, without the fullness of divine love at work in our ranks, we are eligible for a rapture. And that's what brings it right down to the fine line. You know, because the Pentecostals say, we've got the Holy Ghost. But what has the Holy Ghost done for them? And we might say, well, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old or 10 years old or however old. What has it done in your life? What has it produced? What does it produce?
Amen.
Amen. Not to preach legalism tonight, but to challenge us and make us realize that Paul said that Holy Ghost seals us until the day of redemption.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But he said we can grieve it
right.
through the things that we listed, through bitterness,
right.
through strife,
yes, sir.
Through unkind words, through stealing. Amen. Through anger.
Right, brother.
These things grieve the Holy Ghost and keep Him from accomplishing the purpose for which He was given.
Amen.
And that's why we want to live surrendered.
Amen.
And then because all these things that Satan wants to slip in on us, they cut us off from the benefit of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Why we see power leaving the church.
Amen.
That's why we see the miracles and signs leaving the church.
Amen.
We shouldn't fret because we don't see those things in the church, because the church system isn't what we're depending on today.
Right. Here,
amen.
Right.
Amen. But within our own individual place of worship, yes. Amen. In your own ark is the presence of God there.
Right.
And that's where it's come to in this day, is an individual walk with God, an individual relationship and experience with the pillar of fire. Amen. Amen. And aren't you thankful that that's what's been given to us?
Amen.
That's what we've come to experience in our lives tonight. And it's only the grace of God that could open our eyes from the blindness, the gross darkness that's upon the people.
Amen.
Amen. And introduce us to Christ.
Amen.
Now let's just press in, my brother, my sister.
Amen.
Let's press into that. Let's come up higher. Let's march forward.
Oh my.
Let's just dwell in that inner place.
Amen.
Anything else tonight, hear this. I believe if the Church of God could possess these things, could put these things in action, it would heal a million wounds. It would heal a million wounds. It'll bring us in a rapture. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This will all men know you're my disciples. What's the mark? When you have love one for the other. Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's right. Stay right together. If the brother he's a little wrong, or the sister,
yep.
Here's your first concern. Here's the thing you do first. You don't run and tell your neighbor. You don't complain to the pastor. You don't get on Facebook. Here's the first thing. Say, Lord, don't let me ever have the root of bitterness spring up.
Amen.
That's the first concern. Why? Because it'll affect him, your brother. And it'll take the Christ right out of my life.
That's right. Yes.
It takes the Christ right out of my life.
That's right.
That poison acid of malice, jealousy, and hatred, it'll take the Holy Spirit right away from you.
Yes, it will.
He says it'll run him from the tabernacle here.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here, hurt your pastor, it'll do everything.
That's right.
One little root of bitterness. He says, don't do that. He says, buckle on the whole armor of God. Just put it on and tighten up. Move right up close to one another.
Amen.
Amen. Love one another anyhow.
Amen.
Talk nice about one another.
Yes, sir.
Say nice things about one another, and then God will bless you. Well, Brother Nathan, that's Sunday school stuff. That's real simple. Well, that's the same reason that Paul came and said, in a time when we ought to be teachers,
yep.
We have need that one teach us. Amen. Because this is the nitty gritty. This is the day to day life.
Right.
When the root of bitterness comes in, amen. When Satan comes to try to put our heart against our, because what is God trying to do? He's trying to bring together His body in unity in this day, and that's exactly what Satan is against, trying to drive in a stake, amen. Wherever he can, don't accept it. Don't take the box of rattlesnakes.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jewel. If I have found grace in your, now, this is the Great Commission. Another quote here. If I have found grace in your sight through God, you take my word for this, brother. You going to take his word for it?
Sure.
I'm going to take it pretty seriously. If you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, how many would like that?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. I hope so. When a man has done you wrong, and he is absolutely justly, I mean he has done you wrong, and you know that he's done you wrong, he's done you evil. Man has done you wrong, and he has absolutely justly, I mean he has done you wrong, and you know that he's done you wrong, he's done you evil, call your pastor right away. No. Don't mention that.
That's right.
Don't mention that. You know, it seems like you see a lot of places people kind of have the idea in the scripture where it talks about, you know, the brother living in sin, and then you got to go to him, and you got to bring the elders to him, and then bring him before the whole church, you know. And you know, that applies, that's somebody who's just willingly living in sin, you know.
Right.
It's not when your brother makes a mistake, or he accidentally offends you somehow, you know. Don't mention that. Don't make a bunch of drama and a big scene around that. Because Satan would like to get in there with bitterness, amen. And he'll just bring the whole thing to shambles.
Right. Right.
He says, don't mention that, but you take him to prayer before
God.
That's
it. Amen.
And don't just take it in a way of selfish and say, well, I'm supposed to do this. That's religion.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Religion produces that.
That's right.
But stand with your shoulder to his shoulder and stand in the presence of God our Father. The way a prayer should be made, in the presence of God. And say, Father, here's my brother, and he justly deserves punishment because he's done the evil, and I don't see why he did it. Then let God go talking to you.
Amen.
Then let God go talking to you. Amen. Wait a while, let God talk to you, and you'll see maybe what that man's been through. The devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that.
Right.
Though he's absolutely wrong. Before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man.
Right? Absolutely.
You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand.
Right.
Because you know what he's been through. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody.
Right.
Brother Graham says, I don't believe you can stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody, even if he is a rank sinner.
Right.
How much more our brother and our sister.
Amen.
We cannot stand in the presence of God and condemn anybody. So whose presence are we in when we get self-righteous?
Right.
When pride comes in, we say, well, I'm a message believer. That's a nominal Christian. Fake Christian. You know, or that brother, he just doesn't have the revelation I have. You know, pride. Self-righteousness.
Sure, man.
My. And what about a brother that's made a mistake?
Yeah.
Though I say he's wrong, sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not wrong.
Right, sure.
But if he is wrong, if we will take him to the throne of God, stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's immortal, and maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him.
Come on.
Back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we're everyone guilty and we all need help one from the other. And the best way to do is to pray.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand. That's the mark we're looking for in this day. And you know, we preach these things and these are hard things. They're hard to live. They're hard to attain to. And yet, it isn't something we're called to produce. But it's something the Holy Ghost is willing and pushing to do through us.
Amen.
If we can yield to our own thoughts, yield to our own feelings, to our own hurt, our own sensitivity, whatever it might be, our own bitterness, amen, we need to pray. And we need to pray without ceasing that we can preserve the presence of God in our hearts so we can stay in that inner core. Amen, because that's where we do all the good. That's where we draw the strength that someone else can benefit from. It's where our life springs from.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. You know, people get so caught up in little petty things. If we could ever just get out of this temporal mindset and start thinking like the eternal beings that we are.
Amen.
Because when you're... Oh, my, maybe you should sit back down. You know, when you begin to realize, and when it begins to come by revelation and not intellectual conception, that we have not been given eternal life, but we have eternal life because we are part of Christ, because he knew us. Before there was a world, before there was sin, before there was anything but God, amen, we were there in his thoughts. Amen. And when there's sin no more, when all the vanity and the vexation of this mortal coil, when it's all slipped away, we will be with Christ. And we will reign with him. We will reign over the earth. The kings of the earth will pay tribute at your throne. Do you know that? You'll live in oneness with Christ in the land, amen, where all the tears are wiped away, where there's no more sorrow, no more agony, but the most beautiful place, the highest plane of existence that a human could imagine, beyond the imagination, is what we are living on the benefits of that right here in this mortal life.
Amen.
My, when we begin to think like an eternal being, my, then the person who cuts you off in traffic, or the brother who forgets to shake your hand, or the person who said something, had a slip of the tongue against you, or whatever it is, it doesn't seem that important. It no longer has any value, amen,
right,
to an eternal being.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Somebody who's living within the life of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. We need Christ.
Yes.
Because without Him, it's all vanity.
That's right.
It's all vexation. There's nothing in this world that we don't want to live like the rest of the Gentiles, where you know, we go to school and then we go to work and get married and have some kids and a dog and try to die with as many toys as possible. Amen. What you know, the 70, 80 short years on this life, what's the point? What is the value in it in the grand scheme without Christ, without something eternal that when this body, amen, goes into the earth, amen, then the life that's in it will pick right back up, amen, amen, and continue on a higher plane. Oh my, we need Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We need Christ. Let's pray. Amen. And what we need to do today is get in the presence of God. Amen. Whether you don't have the Holy Ghost and you need it, my brother, my sister, more than you need the air that you're breathing. And if you've been born again, if you have the Holy Ghost, amen, then we need to live in His benefits. Amen. Not let any root of bitterness spring up. Amen. Not let anything come in and grieve Him away. Amen. But we need to repent day by day. Die every day. Amen. Let Christ live in us. Let's just call on the presence of God. Lord Jesus. Father, such a simple thought, Lord. But Lord, it's just the thought that consumes our life, Father. How we're hungering for You and thirsting for You. And Lord, just crying out in our heart for, Lord, for something of worth, something that matters, Father. Lord, something that will bring us the things that our heart is desiring, Father, when the world has let us down, when the things of the world aren't fulfilling the thirst that's in us, Father. Lord, we're turning to You. We're turning to Christ, Father. Lord, I repent of all the things in my life, Father, that have come before You. Lord, the things that have grieved Your holy presence away, Father. In Your presence is peace. In Your presence is joy. In Your presence is everything that the human heart longs for, Father. And I want to live in that presence, Father. And I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we would surrender whatever it is that we need to surrender, Lord. That we'd give up, Lord, on our own will, on our own desires, and our own lusts of the flesh, Father. Don't let us be blinded like the rest of these Gentiles, Father. Lord, but bring us further into Your light. Oh my, because Your life and Your light and Your love, Christ. Lord Jesus, sweet Jesus. You're our Prince of Peace that passes all understanding. You're the giver of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, and You promised a life for the Christians of this day, Father.
Thank You, Lord.
Lord, where there'd be fresh man every day, where it would be, Lord, a glory, Your prophet called it a glory hallelujah time. All the time, Father, where we wouldn't be tossed about by emotions and by the circumstances around us, but, Father, that we'd have access to Your presence where every tear is wiped away. Grant it to us, Lord. Lord, you've put in our heart a thirst for it, so there must be something to answer that thirst, Father. You're the thirst-quenching God. Oh, Lord, we turn ourselves over to You.
Yes, Father.
Lord, and trust You, Lord, with all that we are. We surrender, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amidst all that, there's no room for gossip. I've had to sit in this meeting where I felt all we did was gossip about all the people in the church. I've sat in meetings with people where you feel like they just hate that other person. I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit's not in any of that. I don't care who you are. I was talking to a brother the other day. There's a reason I say what I'm saying. And as we got talking, you know, he was sharing some things with me. He's a deacon at another church. And as we got talking, I said, there's one thing, brother, though. It doesn't matter. He's talking about some issues and things. It doesn't matter who we talk about. It doesn't matter what we talk about. Even if it is wrong, as we just read there. If my heart's intention isn't to see that brother better, I got no business talking about this. I got no business saying anything about it because I'm a hypocrite to start off with. How can I help anyone else? See, this isn't time to play around. We're at the end time. There's only one thing. We know, as the prophet crossed and the Holy Spirit said, there's only one thing that dwells here in this land, and that's perfect love. Perfect love can go so far beyond human conception. If you're using reasoning for these things, you're going straight the wrong way. It has nothing to do with reasoning. Well, this brother's wrong, this one's right. No, it's God. Would you find your children? Would you set the people free? You know, when you see a sinner on the street, you afraid to witness to him? You got the man judged before you even get over there? It ain't easy what was said tonight. I agree. This is not, you know, jumping and screaming and shouting, but I believe it's absolutely necessary. And if we've got that stuff in our heart in any way, shape, or form, we don't have any room to do this. God has not made us judge in that way. We're here to live the Word of God. Do you hear me tonight? If you want to keep yourself free from this, I'm going to tell you one thing to do. Never personally attach any person to sin. Listen to what I say there. It ain't them that's doing that anyways. The devil got on them somewhere. Behind that devil is a man that wants what you want. He wants to live forever. He don't want to go to hell. He wants to go to heaven. You feel humbled by the word tonight?
Yes.
See, we think we know what spiritual is sometimes, and we're farther away from being spiritual than I'll get out sometimes. You know, you say, well, I got the power of God in my life, and you're meaner than a snake. No, you don't. No, you don't. He ain't no different than Judas. It's a fearful thing, but I'm telling you, the church of the living God, we don't need to be afraid. There's more power in you to do this than you can realize. Do you understand tonight that we associate on the wrong side? We need to associate ourselves with Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, our brother hitting on the Holy Ghost. That's what we're getting at. The Spirit of God is in us. Saying, I can't love that brother. You're right, you can't. But God in you can. God in you does. God in you paid a lot to see that man saved. You afraid to witness to a homosexual? Bring it right on home. You say that, but you ever been there yet? Yes, you have. You afraid to witness to that person that comes from the, you know, your old assembly that treated you wrong? You hearing me tonight? I can't look a man in the face and bitterly disagree as far as East is from the West and still not love him just the same as if he was right on board with everything I thought, I need to get to an altar and get my heart right. Let's just bow our heads and let's just do that for a little bit before we go. Let's take time. Let's be honest with ourselves. If you find yourself in that category, you find that, look, it's not time to be boastful, proud about it. It's time to say, Father, forgive me. I didn't mean to judge that person. I didn't mean to act like this. You know my heart. Set me free from this wickedness. Forgive me of it, Lord, and make me what I ought to be. Don't worry about nothing else. This ain't, we're shut in with God right now. There should be no looking around. There should be no worrying about anything. Everyone in prayer, shut in with God in a secret place. What has he convicted you of tonight? I'm not telling you to make up sin. We got enough sin already in our lives to make up stuff. I'm talking about what you know. You need to say, Lord, forgive me. I looked at that one brother and I had that thought about it and it just wasn't right. I entertained that thing. I could bring it right down, but I believe the Holy Spirit can say it better than I can anyhow. You want revival? This is where it starts. There's no clear path for the Holy Spirit to work through. All of our efforts are in vain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In his presence now. Is anyone here that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He's here to give it to you. You raise hands to the Lord and say, Father, fill me. I tried and tried and tried. Don't worry. Don't give me no dry eye confession. Don't you worry about your neighbor and you know, worried about what time it is. You don't get the Holy Ghost that way. You need to be shut away with God. It needs to be, I don't care who sees me. I don't care who's around. I'm not in an audience of any more than one right now. I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ, and my heart is not satisfied. God, give me that satisfying portion. God hears. He sees your hands, brother, sister. Don't let me downplay that. He sees your hands. Now put your whole heart into it and watch God give his whole heart to you. Praise his name. God bless each one. God give you the desire of your heart. If you're just in need of a revival, and I'm talking a real revival, Lord, that wherever I walk, I'm thinking on you. Wherever I am, I'm not worried about my will or my thoughts. I'm thinking on God because God's life is just, it's just flowing through me. The Bible said, let the mind of Christ be in you. Hallelujah. Let the carnal mind fade away and let the mind. God hears your hands, or sees your hands, and he hears your hearts behind that. God grant to each one your desire tonight. God grant me the same desire. I pray the same thing. I'm not any better than anyone else. I know I've had bad thoughts. I've had bad intentions. And that's that flesh. That's that old man. But it's time to cast all down all those things, all that reasoning, and find ourselves behind the blood and say, Father, I don't need to be like this. But I know there's power in me that I don't have to stay like this. Hallelujah. I want to be on the streets. And when people see me, I don't want them to see. Lord, I wanted to see you. I wanted to be able to find you. Hallelujah. God bless each one. God give you the desires of your hearts. Hallelujah. You're saying, does raising my hand mean anything? That could be the difference between life and death. And the Holy Spirit's still here, so I'm just giving him time. Saying, wow, well, I thought if the Spirit was here, this would happen. No, you're getting religious about it. God does what he wants to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Always like to give an opportunity. The altar is open tonight. You need to have an altar right there in your heart, that's fine. But if you'd like to come forward, you got a special need for prayer. Just had two more testimonies that God answers prayer when we ask him and believe his word. Is there anyone that would have a need? Physical, spiritual, whatever it might be, while we're in his presence. Thank you.
just worship him now. Put your faith in Christ. Put it in the blood and worship his spirit.
Sweep over my soul.
Side right, up and down, when you're the pastor, you gotta know when to bring the man to say what he needs to say when I need to hear it. But it's good, isn't it, right? What Christian wants sin still in your life? I'll tell you what kind of hypocrite. Ain't no hypocrites here, are there? And I think we should be happy, shouldn't we? want to be perfect, but, you know, no trials. I want to shine like gold, but can it just kind of happen? You know, don't work that way, church. Saying, is that why, and even some of the things from Sunday, wasn't it right? They rub you the wrong way. Look, maybe you need to look back in God's eyes and say, maybe you need polished up just a little bit.
Amen.
Maybe it wasn't time for you just to blast that guy because, you know, he had it coming. Maybe not. It might have just been, God wanted you to shine a little bit. Say, God, I commit myself to you again. And no matter what you put me through, no matter what I go, my first retreat's going to be down to my knees. Isn't that right?
Amen.
We learn too much by theology. We need to learn more by neology.
Amen.
That's right. I just want to give your heart to the Lord just afresh tonight. To say, Lord God, just tonight, I just want to give you my heart, my life, Lord. I just love you and appreciate you, Lord. I'm sorry for listening to anything of the enemy and letting any darkness in my life, Lord. But I pray you wash me, cleanse me. Use me again for service by your Spirit. May every life come in contact with me, not see me, Lord, but see you alive in me, Father. I pray also for us as a church, Lord, that we'll forget the things of the world, forget about just the denominational idea, Lord, but realize we're on a real mission, Lord, to find souls and to bring the kingdom of God in power. Lord, looking for that last one to come in so we can go home. Help us, Lord, anew tonight. Give us new zeal, new rigor, Lord, for the gospel, to forget about our ambition in life and get a real word perspective on everything we do. Help your children tonight. I believe you have by giving us the word. May they walk out of these buildings encouraged, on fire with the same fire that fell at Pentecost. Lord, may it still burn in the hearts of each one of your children, that, Lord, you'll get the glory that you want out of their life. Commit it all to you, Lord, knowing that you said if we'll ask anything in your name, you'll do it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask this blessing on this congregation. When the enemy would come tonight, Lord, when he'll come in the morning, when he comes all day, all the way till Sunday, I pray that this church will grow up, Lord. It won't be little children tossed to and fro, but will stand, Lord, on the word and shine forth the gospel like never before. Grant it, Lord, to each one. And may they be able to see not some puffed up thing, but see that Jesus Christ truly lives in their heart. Grant it to each Christian that's here tonight. Pray that all condemnation, Lord, all things of the enemy, any malice, any bitterness, Lord, right now may the blood of Christ, as we put our faith in it, may it just wash us clean of all wickedness, Lord. And may we walk filled with the Spirit again, just refreshed in your presence. Grant it to each one tonight. Pray for your servant, Lord, that brought the word. Pray you bless him, his wife, keep him strong and healthy, Lord. May their souls prosper. May their bodies prosper as their soul does. And may everything, Lord, that my brother puts his hands to for the kingdom of God, may it flourish for your glory, we pray. We commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we commit ourselves each individually afresh. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and we receive it now. Amen. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of worship and praise? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, I'll sing He Is My Everything. That's TF there, Dan. 138 if you don't know it, but just the chorus, He Is My Everything.
He is my everything.
Just sing that tonight, worship.
one time personal, make it you are my everything.
You are my
say it to him now.
Everything.
Yes, Lord.
You are my all. You are my everything, both great and small. You gave your life for me, made everything
I believe he likes that. Can we sing it one more time like that? With our hands raised, with all our hearts.
You are my everything. You are my all. You are my everything. Both great and small.
But I'm going to have you be dismissed on that. Remember one another in prayer. Remember those that weren't here tonight. God will bless them and keep them. Don't forget our brother and servant here, Brother Nathan, as well in prayer. And Brother Alexander did talk to me, and he's going to be there through Sunday preaching. So if you remember, it's our Brother Alexander in Africa. When you go to prayer, that's what we all praying Christians. Pray for one another. Love one another. Isn't that right? Little children, more than anything, love one another. I'm going to let you be dismissed on that. Dad will lead the juicy songs. There were a few things left from Sunday service, so if you did, look back there. I don't want to make a lost and found out of it. Let's just try to get it where it needs to go. And God bless you tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.